I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
I'm just also conscious, I'm not even sure who it is, it could be me, but we're getting a lot of banging on the microphones.
Oh.
Or the tables or something. So I think just, you know.
Maybe it's me. I mean, let me know in the...
Sorry.
In the files if it comes up.
That was awesome, actually.
I've never sneezed like that in my life.
Was that on purpose?
I don't know. It was like, whoa!
I just like, okay, is that on purpose? I don't know. Sneeze has a mind of its own.
I think I was in the middle of saying, about to say something, but I sneezed.
I just like, I'm like, be conscious about the sound and banging on the microphone.
Whoa!
Sound like Mario. It's like,
All right. I hope that's not the intro.
There's a rat called Rattus. He's the leader of the bunch. A cat called Modigliana. She's fluffy, but she's tough. Darren, he's a dopey dog. Lix, he's a mother that licks the bunny.
Hello and welcome to the Ferals Podcast. I'm Monkey Boy, and I'm joined by...
Swinny.
And Miguel.
This is episode 5 of season 2, Rent-A-Pet.
Yeah, look, it's a 4 out of 10, and that's all I'm going to say. I'm done.
It's quite generous.
You're a little bit early, Mike.
Well, he's used to going early, you know.
Exactly.
I like to preempt these things.
So, not only are we battling with, as Mike forecasted, not a great episode, also, just to combine matters, through our totally legit source, it's also a very terrible copy of the episode. Would you guys rate this the worst copy of an episode?
Yes, by far. This is worse than the content, I'm saying the way it's dubbed, yeah. And stuff. This is worse than those VHS porn tapes I used to have where the best bits... were unwatchable by the end of it, because you'd stop and play and rewind that part so many times that the tape was just screwed.
So, interesting thought. So, essentially, the money shot was just blurred
lines. Yeah. So I ended up just jerking off to lines.
That's a perfect segue, because I want to play a little bit of a clip from the episode, which kind of shows the audio distortion. Now, there's video distortion as well.
You lot, we've got bookings for our new Rent-A-Pet business coming out of our ears. So line up and give us a look.
Nah,
20's enough.
You're supposed to look cute and cuddly, Modigliana.
What is that?
It just goes on. There's so many parts.
I don't know what's scarier, Modigliana's voice in normal or in slow-mo.
It's creepy. It's, but you guys notice that it seems to me that Hannah chick, what is it, Movies by Hannah or something? Is that copying the Ferals TV upload or vice versa? Because both of them can't possibly have the same source.
I have a feeling that they're in cahoots. They're both the same
person.
Either the same person or they know each other, and it's kind of like a backup channel.
Okay.
Well, okay.
Oh, look, First, don't get me wrong. Thankfully, there is multiple sources just in case. It just is, I think one just copies the other one.
Well, okay, taking a step back, what we're talking about here are two channels on YouTube that actually have most of the Ferrells episodes.
Where?
So Ferrells TV has all of them. I don't know if Movies by Hannah have them all.
I got to say, I think it's taken us... Is this the 20th episode that we're reviewing now?
Yes.
It's taken us 20 episodes to actually kind of give credit to the channels that we're watching.
Well, no, we mentioned it's not it very legitimate, right? It's not very legitimate, so it shouldn't be a focus of it, but... Yeah, no, true. Heaps of credit to these guys. It's
and
one
to
of those
our friend
things,
Dave, like, who watches them and then tells us about them, and we just listen to what he says, because we don't watch them ourselves, obviously, because that wouldn't be legal.
That's so
thanks,
strange
Dave.
What you just said then.
Dave.
Yeah, he watches it in his house, and we just stand outside his window to watch it.
Pretty much, yeah. No, he just writes it all down, and we just read it like an essay.
Well, he's got all this time on his hands now that he's broken his leg.
True. Yeah. So, this is what I feared about this episode. This is a terrible episode, and I knew that we'd go way off track early on because it's so bad. So, the setup is Radis is running a rent-a-pet business.
Okay, wait. I'm just going to stop you there. This episode is about feral prostitution.
Yes. And Radis is a pimp.
I had that as a point. That's what I wrote. Like, Radis is a pimp.
I'm just disappointed they didn't have a pimp costume for him.
My note, feral prostitution, ? Radis is a pimp.
Yeah, so he's got this rent-a-pet business, and the ferals are constant. So all the other ferals, apart from Radis, of course, are so angry that they have to dress up as, you know, opposite sex that they are, or they have to do things that they don't want to do, and it's so creepy.
It's...
And then... Go on.
It's definitely inspired by the prostitution / escort business.
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember, kids. We're all agreeing. It's a kids show.
I'm not sure if inspired, but I'm sure the genesis of the storyline is something... Well, I don't know. Do you think that? Do you think they actually said, oh, okay, let's have a storyline about this, or let's have a story about them getting rented out? And then when someone was writing it, they kind of had a laugh to themselves. Well, this is like a pimp, so I'm going to throw in some lines.
I have a feeling
that, you know, allude to it.
I have a feeling that that was not the main intention, kind of as you said. But I think the Radis role is definitely a bit of a joke about that.
Oh, full on.
Yeah.
So I have two theories. Either one of the people, one of the writers was an ex-pimp, possible.
What?
Or number two. If that wasn't the case, so. Well, Mel could confirm. We could get in contact with Mel, and maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll tell us if one of the writers was an ex-pimp.
We will publicise that this cast member on this old 90s show was a pimp.
Ex-pimp. I never said pimp. I said ex-pimp.
I said was a pimp.
Allegedly was a pimp. Or secondly, someone had a funny experience with an escort, and they wrote this into a story for kids.
Okay, I think both theories are incorrect.
Whatever, I'm sticking
Can I also
it.
State that all your views are to your own, of your own personal volition?
No, they're those of a deterministic universe.
Oh, you love your deterministic universe. So, yeah, we have this
whole... Too bad
whole,
it doesn't love me. Sorry, go on.
We have this whole storyline, this plot line about them getting rented out. Like, we'll revisit it, like, down the line, but... There's actually not that much to say about it, to be honest.
Sorry, I banged the table. It's probably me that's banging the table.
I was
table
just...
All the
yeah,
time.
I know. But,
okay, sorry. Okay, wait. Before we go into that, I'm just looking at...
Oh, God.
I'm just looking at the... You know, I'm looking at my notes, and every time one of you guys speaks, it pops up a portrait. So, Monkey Boy, it's got your face, and Mike, it's got some generic kind of status placeholder image. Now... Before the episode went on the air, Monkey Boy, you're like, oh, we got to figure out who's banging like a table or bumping to it. We can hear it in the recording.
As I'm listening
to Monkey Boy talk, it goes bang, and then Mike's picture pops up as it bangs. I'm like, aha, gotcha. And then Mike drops an F-bomb under his breath. Good one, Mike.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't. That was Dave. Dave banged the table. Dave dropped the F-bomb.
I'm just trying to think, actually. Have you guys heard the latest episode that was published and what I'm doing now with the swearing?
No.
Yeah, you made it like squeak or something.
Squeak.
Yeah, it's like kind of beeping.
It's like squeak, squeak, squeak.
Because I want to maintain, you know, Mike's contribution rather than edit it completely out of the
podcast. Well, you don't want to edit like 90% of what I say, right?
Pretty much, pretty much.
So anyway, it's been 10 minutes and I don't think we've spoken a single word about the actual episode yet.
Well, we have. We've covered, I think, half the storyline.
I was just going much more to it. I was just going to say, we got, I think, not even 2 minutes into the podcast before we started talking about porn and escorts, Mike, so good job.
I know,
it's true. Can I just say, you've mentioned porn and escorts, and they're actually unrelated, the points that you made.
One thing
I did want to say.
What's that, sorry?
God, this is a disaster. One thing I did want to mention was, why did they spend $200 on t-shirts? So Radis put them in $200 to get them in Rent-A-Ped t-shirts.
Same reason Google probably spent millions and hundreds of millions of dollars redesigning their logo. It's an image thing.
Okay, I'm just going to say that we spent about 10 minutes after the podcast last week actually talking about Google's logo.
Arguing.
Yeah, I know. Mike gets caught up in these things.
Yeah. Now, about the t-shirts, have you ever seen the cost of children's clothing, man? Those are custom-sized t-shirts. That's why they're so expensive.
I'm not saying how much it would actually cost to make them, but I don't know. Do they really need t-shirts? But anyway, I don't know.
Well, if you're going to run a proper professional business, you have to have a brand. And part of that, I think, is merchandise, t-shirts, logos, all that kind of
what else?
Jazz.
What else is...
I don't know, personalized condom cases?
cases?
Yeah, not personalized.
How do you carry yours? Why do you just put them in your pocket?
Condom cases.
They could break.
They make cases?
I think you're using it wrong. They can break in your pocket. Anyway.
I don't actually use them. I just carry them around. You never know when you need a water balloon. Okay, all of a sudden, you know, someone throws a water balloon in your face. How are you going to defend yourself? You know, you could just walk into a water balloon fight at any time nowadays. That's the kind of stuff that happens.
How are you going to protect yourself? I don't think throwing a water-filled condom is going to protect you from a water balloon
fight. It will in a water balloon fight.
I'm not sure if it offers protection, but... Okay. So we have our other storyline, which involves Lenny building a robot, making a bet with Joe that he can't build said robot. I feel like I'm just going to say the whole story. Losing... Well, he doesn't lose the bet, does he? He wins the bet because of Robbie and Lenny cheating the robot and the ability to talk. Man, this is a crappy storyline as well.
I've got something to say about this robot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, sorry. I'm thinking, are you going to say the whole thing? But, you know, how later on the robot actually does talk. But this robot reminded me, have you guys ever seen Rocky IV?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Mike, have you seen Rocky IV?
If I did, I do not remember it.
Okay, Rocky IV, which is, while some people love it, my most hated Rocky movie, is...
Oh, really? Not Rocky V?
No, I hate Rocky IV for passion. It's just one big montage.
I like Rocky
but
Road.
It's a big montage with Dolph Lundgren, so he makes up for it. But Paulie gets a robot. Rocky buys Paulie a robot. And this robot goes, the phone's ringing, you can get it here, Paulie. And then Paulie somehow, like, reprograms the robot to have like a sexy voice and bring in beers, and it had Apollo Creed just like looking like,
okay,
what the hell is up?
Wait,
with this
is real? You didn't just make this up. This is actually Rocky IV.
It's awesome, dude.
This is real. I kind of wish Monkey Boy hadn't seen it, because I could probably explain this whole thing and you guys wouldn't believe me. And then I'd be able to tell you that there's a clip on YouTube that says Paulie and his robot, the love of his life.
Wow.
So you can go check that out.
Adrian.
Yo, Adrian.
Okay.
Oh, God. So, yeah, like, in this part, we have... Well, is it actually... It's right at the start, right? Like, he's trying to make this robot, and then... And Robbie's like, oh, stuff it. Let's just cheat. Let's just, you know, pretend to be the robot.
You sound so disinterested in this
episode. Oh, it's just so bad. I can't... I actually, when I finished watching this episode, I wish I never gave any of the other episodes a one. Because I think I gave one earlier episode a one. It's just... It's so bad, dude.
Is this a case of I wish I had two more hands so I could give this four thumbs down?
Oh, you stole my line. I had that later in the notes.
I'm so sorry. I think we both stole someone else's line, to be fair.
I don't know, dude. It's just... Oh, God. Anyway, what else did I think about this? I've already skipped ahead in my notes, actually.
Oh, yeah, I'll just say, it goes back to the shed, and the ferals, you see all their bookings on, like, a booking calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yeah,
some of them had two pets. Two pets on a booking, I assumed it was. Unless it was the same
guy. Yeah, yeah.
See? Yeah. Mike licks.
Yeah, I had the note, actually. This is what I had the note. So, you know the part where Joe actually sees this robot?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It, for me, my standards, he is ridiculously unimpressed with this robot. Like, he's impressed, but, I mean, it's a robot that's, like, talking back to him, answering him, like, making wisecracks and stuff.
I know.
Like that.
I'd be like, what? It's a machine. It can talk. This is the most amazing thing ever.
I know. I think, like, so many parts of this episode just annoyed the hell out of me.
Hey, if I was Joe, I wouldn't be impressed either.
Why?
Why?
I mean, this is... We've seen a digital duplicate. It can duplicate living things.
Well, that's a fair point.
You know, we've seen a lot of crazy stuff. This, not that crazy.
Hey, speaking of Joe...
Yeah, that's true.
Does he or does he not look really buff in this episode?
What?
God, this is so off track.
No, he does. Like, when he's wearing that grey t-shirt, like, his chest is just so well-defined. And his arms just so... manly.
The only thing I noticed about Joe in this episode, he's got awesome pants.
Oh, what kind of pants was he wearing?
Far out.
He was wearing pants that reminded me of the cat from Red Dwarf. How he used to wear all these really crazy, snazzy pants. Yes. So, Mike identifies his well-defined upper body, and I notice his pants.
Huh, there you go. I don't know what that says about us, but there you go.
All right, well, I'll play a little bit of what the robot sounds like just to get us back on track.
Okay.
Oh!
Who's this?
Your present.
Yo, I wanted a sports car for my birthday. Not no walking trash can.
Oh, come on, he looks great here.
He's extremely psycho, Rocco.
Well, since you don't have any friends, we thought you'd like it.
Yeah, pretend you're happy, will you? It'll keep you company when you're all alone.
That's a great looking guy.
Please make a wish.
It's creepy, that talks, that thing.
Creepy? This is the greatest. I wish I had one of these when I was growing up. Go on, make a wish, like he says.
I wish I wasn't in this nightmare.
Hey, very classy wish. Very nice. What do you think there? Very good, huh?
Want to help me put out this forest fire?
Sure.
Okay, on the count of three. One, two, three. Whoa,
whoa.
That sounded really
good. Drowned me.
Oh, what did that robot just do?
I'll clean it up for you, Bully.
Polly just have a bukkake party.
Oh, double or nothing.
What the hell is that? That's my girl. Thanks, honey.
You're welcome.
It's a nice song.
It's my favorite. You're the greatest. See you, sport.
See you.
No, Polly, who taught her to talk like that?
She loves me.
Oh.
Okay.
Like I was saying,
that whole movie is just one big music video clip, as evidenced by the fact that in that one clip you heard two different songs already.
That intro song was really good. I love that 80s synth music. It's awesome.
Anyway.
I like how this episode has impressed you guys so much that we just played like a minute from Rocky IV.
That was 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
Okay. So we have Joe, who's missing his phone again. That's what I picked up. I like how this is coming back. This is a theme. Having poor negotiation with the robot, negotiating 20-30% of how much, you know, to sell them all, and then negotiating down to 10.
Yeah, because he goes, there's no way I'm going below 30. 10, that's my last offer. Deal.
Yeah, exactly. All right, I'll turn it over to you, Swinny. What are the parts that you wanted to talk about in this episode?
Oh, we're not going to go through properly. What's going on? Okay, I wanted to say Darren suffers a very traumatic experience when he says, he comes back dressed in very feminine clothing and says, they wanted a girl dog. And Radis tells him, you do look kind of cute in that.
He did.
It reminded me of the whole Mal bit. You know how he's saying how the puppeteer for Darren participated in the Mardi Gras and all that kind of stuff. So I was kind of hoping more would happen in that scene. Like they'd ham it up a little bit more.
Well, you know what it reminded me of? I forget which one it is. It might be the first one. Toy Story. Buzz Lightyear gets given to a really girly girl with dolls, and she puts like a dress on him and calls him like Miss Prissy Pants or something. So I can't remember if it's the first movie or not, but that reminded me of it so much. And Toy Story, we talked about it last week. It came out in 95, so there you go.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty amazing that this was made in the same year as Toy Story.
It's pretty amazing that I remember when that came out 20 years ago.
I gotta tell you, Toy Story still stands the test of time. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. Definitely. But they were really smart about like how we're reviewing Toy Story. It was really smart how they, you know, had very minimal human faces in it. Like they did everything that really worked well for the technology that they had.
Yeah.
So they worked in that constraint. It was super smart.
Mm.
So that's our review of Toy Story.
Which you should watch over this episode.
Oh, yeah. I'll just say there's a scene in the apartment next where Robbie is dressed up as Little Bo Peep. And I'm like, Toy Story undertones continue.
Mm.
Yeah, that's true. And what did you think of her outfit, Mike?
No comment.
Would you eat one of her pies?
I would. Hey, wait. No, that's a trap. It's a trap.
It's a trap.
I'm not answering that question.
Okay, so one of the themes in this episode is that her pies stink. Now, and every time that someone's about to say, oh, your pie smells like, and then, you know, Robbie and Lenny go, don't say it. What do you guys think it is? Like, I've got my opinion based on what happened in the credits. How about you, Swinny? What do you think it smells like?
I don't know. I mean, the obvious thing is it smells like shit, but obviously they're not saying that, but
I thought maybe it smells like fart, because you know at the end how Radis smells it and he loves it.
Yeah, and he also
and you know, maybe this episode, maybe when just not thinking about it too deeply, like you see Robbie, she's doing a job she doesn't want to do, she's being oppressed, she's being forced to, you know, wear other people's clothing, all this kind of stuff, and the ferals as well. Everyone has a master. Everyone is trying to participate in this big machine.
So you're saying this could actually be the best episode yet?
Yeah, maybe this is the deepest episode. What do you think of that?
No, I agree. And it's the only episode where they actually had a positive message for kids. You know, the part where they go, we're partners in debt thanks to you. And then I think it was Redis that said, you got to spend money to make money. That's a good, valuable life lesson right there.
No, it's not a lesson for kids.
Yes, it is. It teaches kids about investing, how to handle money responsibly, how to make more money from money
on the debt. How to make more money from money on the debt thing. So the reason why they're in debt is because they've borrowed money from Joe to pay for the t-shirts. So now we have Lenny who is scrambling to make a real robot instead of the fake Robbie the robot, Because Joe has actually set up a meeting with the CEO of the biggest toy company in Australia, which happens to be Joe's uncle. Now, if Joe's uncle is the CEO of the biggest toy company in Australia, surely Joe would be doing some work related to toys, right? Did you find it weird, Swinny, that we'd never heard of this character?
How many Australian toy companies are there? Is that really a big
zero?
Well, zero now, right? I don't think there's any.
No, in this scene when Lenny pretends, the voice box is out. That's why, you know, Joe couldn't hear it talk again, because Joe's like, get it to tell me how great I am again or something. And did you catch it? Joe says, you better get a move on. You've got 2 days, and he holds up three fingers.
Yeah, I saw that too.
It was all distorted though, the video, but I still
it was. But yeah, we caught
yeah.
that.
It went, you better get a move on. You've got, like, 2 days.
Yeah, you go, I think my brain was, like, looking for anything interesting in this episode. So, one of the highlights for me, and we all got excited when he held up three fingers and said two.
It's the little
okay,
things.
So, we've got Pimp Radis, who is telling off Moddy because she stole a cake. And she's eating it. You know what I thought when I was watching this? They would have to bloody clean this puppet. Because the puppet was actually jamming the cake in its face.
And it was only one puppet. Two.
Yeah.
Well, I think there were two, but that one in the second season was just one, I think Mel said.
Yeah, no, exactly right.
And same as when a certain...
What do you think of that,
Spinny? Certain other character...
Sorry, I was going to say, you got to keep the puppet goddess busy, don't you?
Yeah, that's true. And the continuity expert, because do you reckon they would have done this scene last?
Potentially. Oh, no. Possibly. The last scene is the worst.
Oh, yeah, true.
Mm.
Yeah.
Although, did the ferals get dirty in that? I don't think so.
I don't know. Anyway.
Because humans, you can just clean stuff.
Humans, you can clean stuff.
Usually.
I don't know.
Yeah, but there's only one of those. They didn't make multiple copies.
True. I'm dialing in this podcast episode just to reference how much they dialed in this episode of The Ferals. A little controversial.
Do you guys have Keith shampoo? And Kylie? What?
No, I'm not going down this path. So we have Keith and Kylie in this episode. I was quite happy about that.
No. Keith and fake Kylie.
That's what I was going to say too.
What did I say?
You said Keith and Kylie, but that's incorrect. It's Keith and fake Kylie.
Oh, Keith and Kyle's?
Keith and Faye Kyles.
I don't know. You guys are not accepting this fake Kylie.
Hell no, girlfriend. So actually, I didn't mind her. To be honest, I did not mind her.
I'll mind her when she starts giving a shit.
Well, she doesn't really say anything, does she? She says one or two lines and then that's it.
Well, she's not trying.
Like, at least in the first season.
She's not even attempting to sound anything like the other Kylie. You know, she's not going, rap music.
Yeah, rap music. So when the mob of people go past Keith and Kylie, it's like a cartoon blob of people.
Okay, I just got to say, mob of people, because Darren caused a bus accident.
He killed five people. Yeah, he caused an accident. And it's kind of weird, though. Like, he causes an accident, and then they all chase him. No one would do that. People don't give a shit.
People would chase us.
A mob of people chasing? I don't think so.
Not a mob of people, no.
I watched a video on YouTube of this guy running over a crowd.
Okay.
A crowd?
And then started driving off. Yeah, it was crazy, man. Like, there was this parade or something, and this guy who didn't want to wait just started running into people.
Oh, I remember this. Yes.
Was it
and
Darren?
Then he drove off.
Yes.
Yeah, it was Darren driving the car. And he drove off and, like, three people chased him. I'm like,
and they gave up.
He could have killed, like, five people and only three people are chasing this car? Like, really?
Well, oh, I mean, I don't know. I'm assuming the guy didn't do it on purpose.
Well, it looked like he did, yeah.
Okay, if he did it on purpose, I wouldn't chase after him because he's in, like, how much the car's weigh? Like, a ton of steel or something? Like, I'm not going to chase after a guy in a machine.
Also, unless your name is Bolt... I don't think you can catch up to that car. Like, what's the point of even
Andrew,
chasing
Andrew
car?
Bolt?
How about if my name is Gay? How about if my name is Gay?
What if it's Johnson?
I Oh, God.
Point is, what's the point? I've never
made that noise in my life. What's wrong today?
So, we have Robbie who is failing to sell any pies. But appropriate spoonerism right there. This robot that Lenny's now programmed is an asshole. I think I've got like a brief clip of it being an asshole.
Yeah.
Doc, it's the robot.
Doc.
I'll give it. Doc, come on.
I like this dog. Dog.
Again, I have in my notes, robot is an arsehole. What's going on here?
I like it because Joe shapes up in this scene to the robot. Like, it's okay, to describe it, the robot is like a foot tall and it's prodded up on a table. Like, why do you have to shape up to a robot? You could just smash it with anything.
Joe wanted to bung on.
Yeah, he wanted to bung on. You're starting me, robot. You're starting me, mate.
You shirt fronting me like Abbott wanted to the Putin.
Exactly. But he's got the old school Irish, English, 1800s fighting stance. Yeah. It's pretty funny, actually. He's the best thing in this whole show. He's ridiculously funny. So the next part of the episode, we have Mixie, who has now kidnapped a baby.
Oh, God.
So I think...
Notice how she's gone all crazy as well.
I know. It's like, full on. It is scary. Ugh. It's not funny. I wrote spooky, but not in any like fun spooky way. It's just creepy. Do you think there was a callback when they all came up to the baby and Radis said, "Watch out, don't give it fleas."
Did you take that? I think it was.
Did you pick up on that, Mike?
Yeah, I heard that too. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard that too. I don't think they would have said something random like that if it wasn't a callback.
Yeah. And then we have Radis who's going to return the baby. I don't know what's worse, Mixie kidnapping the baby or a rat, a human-talking rat coming back to return your baby. But so this is when the other ferals cook up a plan because they're sick of, doing Radis's bidding.
Can I just quickly interject? What a missed opportunity that it wasn't Darren, who's half dingo from memory.
Instead
of taking the baby.
Every now and then you just chime in with something that's like brilliance. That's true.
Your tally's up to like 5 out of 20 episodes. Well done.
I know. We could almost make like a highlight show of just all your little insights that we're both... that's true, because you could have someone on the phone. The dingo stole my baby.
It would go for a total of 10 minutes, but hey, it's a good way to fill the end of the month's quota.
Well, 10 minutes? 10 seconds. He's saying 20 times longer than Mike's average normally.
I hope you're talking about the
podcast. A minute? Who do you take me for? What am I, some champion of some sort?
Mike, just efficient.
The podcast champion.
So now we have Lenny who is annoyed because his robot's missing, and he says that he went to polish his robot. Did you guys hear?
I did not capture that.
No, I didn't hear that.
Oh, you didn't hear that line?
No.
He goes, "I went to polish my robot," and it was missing. I'm like, that's awesome.
That would have bumped it up already if I heard that one.
Bumped it up from what to 2 or 2 or something.
You'll see.
I think here it is.
Fat chance.
It's gone. No, oh, it's gone.
What?
The robot. Somebody's pinched it.
Come on, Lenny. A joke's a joke.
Look, I'm not joking. I just went to polish it up.
See? Did you hear it? Just went to polish it up. I don't know. I thought it was funny. Yeah, surely that's not like polish a robot. What the hell? Anyway. Now, in this scene, when Lenny picks up the phone, answers it perfectly, like saying it's the rent-a-pet service, blah, blah, blah. The whole reason why they need that is so that he's answering the phone and the call is about the robot. But it's so much bullshit. Like, there's no way that he's answering the phone and answering it properly, right?
Well, why
did you guys think that was weird?
Yeah, it was weird. Like, why would he answer with that? Doesn't
I know, it makes no sense.
Introduced. He had no idea those guys were really even doing that.
Yeah, it's true, actually. Like, does Lenny even know about the rent-a-pet scheme?
Don't think so. He wasn't introduced to it.
This episode's so bad. It's so bad, this episode. So, yeah, like, basically, the robot was being used by the other ferals to do the jobs. And it got smashed by... Do you guys remember what it was, Swinny? What did it get smashed by?
The robot.
Garbage truck?
No
got
idea.
Got smashed by a garbage truck,
no
was
idea.
It?
No idea. Yeah, probably. I didn't care.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'll say we forgot next. To kind of set up, unless I missed it, that Joe's trying to sell all this stuff to his Uncle Frank. Did we actually properly cover that? Because that leads into the last final scene. So.
Well, we said his Uncle Frank is the CEO of the robot company. Of the toy company.
He's the head of Skynet.
They got a presentation.
He's the head of Skynet.
He's the head of Skynet. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so then that's the final. We're up to the final scene already. Where the plan is that the ferals are dressed up as robots. My note... Well, I guess... Did you guys have any one-line notes about this intro of the idea of the ferals being robots? You, Swinny?
It wasn't too bad, in my opinion, this part.
Oh, really?
I thought it was alright.
No, but I'm not saying
funny.
The part, but when you were introduced to the concept that the ferals would be robots, what did you think?
I just said that. I'm like...
Oh, okay. Because I was just like, this is stupid.
No, I thought it was alright. So, it wasn't as but funny I, as it could have been.
What I don't understand is, like, if Lenny said he doesn't have time, but he didn't build the robot in the first place. He just had, like, some... It would just look like a robot, right? So why can't he do the whole Robbie scam again and pretend it was a robot? I don't get it. Why did the ferals have to be robots? They don't look like robots. They're animals.
you're just like, this doesn't make any sense. Why would it's Chewbacca so live dumb. On a planet with Ewoks? It doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. Just like it felt, everything in this felt so forced. That's pretty good.
Hey, not bad. Can like, you do? Can you do your Mike Tyson impersonation again?
No.
And that was better. No.
No.
Monty dig it. Oh yeah, so that's right. Monty has a dig at Robbie because she's dressed up as Bo Peep, even though she's dressed up as the robot. Okay, so. One of my favorite bits in this episode are the puns.
Yeah.
Like what Lenny calls... Joe, of course. Mm-hmm. Joe calls all the ferals, what the pun names are. The only two that I remember are Catastrophe and R2 Rat.
It was...
Do you remember the other ones, Swinny?
Yeah, it was a Dogomatic model.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike, the other one.
Bunny Deluxe.
Yes. Now... Dog.
Oh, very impressed.
Dogomatic. Dogomatic. Now, obviously, that's a play on also dogmatic.
Mm.
Yeah.
I remember when I learnt the meaning of that word in high school, and it perfectly encapsulated you, Monkey Boy, because you were notorious, especially in high school, for just how to say. Never admitting that you were wrong in arguments and liking to, like, starting fires and then just getting to arguments for the sake of getting into arguments.
Yeah, Luke. So funky town.
I totally disagree with that.
It
I totally disagree
was
with that.
Funky town.
So, no, when you said when I learnt the meaning of the word dogmatic yesterday, that's what I was waiting. Yeah, that's true. I was very dogmatic earlier. So anyway, we have this kid who now is inspecting. He's the chief inspector of this company.
Wait, the first kid on the show?
Yes.
Ooh.
I think it
first
was.
First kid on the show.
Yeah, we've actually brought it up. We're like, there's no kids on the show. And I think it was, unfortunately, in relation to the Hey Dad guy. Yeah, but unless there's been an extra say in maybe like the talent contest or something in the crowd, there's been no kids on the show.
Nope.
That's true. You are right. There have been no kids on the show because I would have mentioned
damn
that. Now, did you look up this kid?
No.
The credits and all that kind of stuff?
I didn't look up the kid, no.
I didn't look him up
So
either.
I did.
Okay.
So I just called this kid, right?
Wrong.
Then I was looking through, this is how much they dialed this episode in. I was looking through the credits for the kid's name.
Mm.
It comes up listed as Kid.
Okay.
It's his character name. And yeah, I checked him out. He was in Home and Away, of course, like every actor in Australia.
Yeah.
And then he's in Chutes and Ladders, but I could not find a photo of him. And the guy's name is like Hayden something. I can't remember
Hayden
his last
Christensen?
Name.
Darth Vader?
No. That would have been awesome, though. But there's a quarterback in college with the exact same name. So it's less impossible to find him on Google because the quarterback just totally destroys his Google ranking if he had any. So this kid's a bit anonymous. You know what I'm saying.
I thought this kid was actually pretty decent in his role. He played
he's
that
pretty wooden.
That's
pretty wooden.
No, but he played that smarmy arsehole kid that you just hate, that doesn't like anything.
Such an arsehole.
Really well.
Such an arsehole kid.
Really well.
He was an arsehole kid.
No, that's true. He was an arsehole. I'm just trying to line up the bit where he gives his verdict.
I was just going to say, I don't think I can when it. He says, what's the verdict? That's when I was going to say, wish I had two sets of hands.
Yeah, because the bit, where is it? It's like, oh, no, it's not past here. Yeah.
So the kid walks past each of the ferals and, like, pokes them and looks at them and gives his verdict, like, talks at them. And under a breath, Moddy mumbles, if he touches me, I'll kill him. And then,
oh, really?
And then yeah. Raddus says, oh, I'm going to kill him. Oh, my God. They're saying they're going to kill the kid.
I think I got the verdict lined up. Here we go. This is the kid's verdict of the robot ferals.
Well, Loserville.
Loserville.
Yeah, and he said something like, they suck. They totally suck.
That was his first verdict. And this is the thing I like. They gave the first verdict, and then Joe and Lenny are like, no, there's another routine that we can show you. And then, yeah, the second time around, he also said, they sucked. That's my favorite part of the episode, I think, that the kid's an arsehole. Do you guys remember? Why did the food fight break out? I can't even remember why.
I can't remember, but Joe goes nuts after demonstration.
It's because someone threw food at one of the ferals, I thought, got pissed off and threw food at them.
Oh, no, I remember, because the kid said, especially that fat
cat.
Yeah,
and then she threw the food.
And she goes, that's it! God, I can't do Moddy. Why don't I even try? Okay. So, I mean, is there any other part of this episode?
Oh, yeah, I'll just nope. say... So they start a food fight, although technically it's just a pie fight. Have you guys ever heard of the movie called Food Fight?
Nope.
Okay.
I have, actually.
All right.
But I don't know anything about it, but okay. I've heard about it in
Is this
bad
the one on
IMDb
or on Pornhub.com?
God, Mike. Are you guys able just to type in Food Fight movie and check out the Google image results?
Food.
Okay.
I think I was meant to watch this movie because you know how I like watching bad movies?
Yeah.
Because I've been watching a series of bad movies recently.
Food Fight movie. Ooh. So let me know when it's popped up for you guys.
Got a really good rating on IMDb.
Okay. If you see some of the screenshots, can I ask, Mike, you've probably already seen it. What year do you think this movie was released in?
Very recently, because I remember this was the thing about it. It's actually quite a recent thing. It just looks so shit. Like it was made in 1990 something.
I think I downloaded this movie, actually.
This looks like it was made in about...
No, it was 2012 or something.
1992 or something. Like, it looks so much worse than Toy Story. Now, I'm not saying that it would have had the budget, but we have Charlie Sheen and Ava Longoria, or however you say her name. Like, these are some pretty big name actors doing voice acting for this movie. Now,
And Hilary Duff.
So this movie's been covered by a lot of podcasts and whatnot. It's now like a cult. It's not classic, but like people talk about it a lot. But I was just hoping that you guys hadn't heard of it, because I was going to be like, assuming that you guys wouldn't think a movie like this could get released in the year 2012.
Well, yeah. The problem is that I had heard of it because, you know, I started watching, after watching The Room, I started downloading and watching heaps of really bad movies. And I don't know, they just don't quite get to The Room status. Like, I watched one recently called Invisible Maniac.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty funny.
I really want to watch Troll 2.
Yeah, yeah, I'd love to watch that. Okay, so my two favorite cult crazy movies, where they're terrible, but they're actually awesome, Leprechaun 4
mm-hmm.
and The Room, of course. Which I've watched, you know, I don't even know how many times now, by myself.
I love Leprechaun in the Hood, the first one. I love that there's more than one. And
yeah.
I love Ninja Thunderbolt.
I haven't watched Ninja Thunderbolt.
Which is, it's hilarious because they chopped in parts of other movies into, like, the certain parts. So, and what they did is they filmed, if you look at the history of Ninja Thunderbolt, they've got this American actor, and they filmed scenes for him and then chopped him into all these other random Hong Kong action movies and tried to make plots around him. It's awesome.
That is awesome. Okay, so going back to this episode, is there anything else we haven't covered before we do the rating?
No, they just turned into pie robots after the credits.
Exactly.
Pretty much.
Okay, so ratings. Mike, are you sticking with your 4?
Damn right I am.
Wow, it's pretty generous. Swinny?
I give this episode a 5.
Huh.
Really? Huh.
You guys kept insinuating that you hated this episode, and I didn't say, up until other than me not caring about how the robot got destroyed, I didn't mind this episode.
Okay.
Really? Okay. I gave it a 1.
Sheesh.
Oh, it's just so boring, this episode, man. That's interesting that you think it's not that bad.
I will say,
you've given other episodes much worse than this.
I enjoyed this episode, but I forgot about it. So, I don't know if that's a good sign. I enjoyed it, but it was really, really forgettable. I watched this about, I don't know, 3 or 4 days ago, and I couldn't remember what the episode was about until I opened my notes.
Wow, that's a testament to a good episode.
Was it the one about the apartment falling apart? Was it the one, you know, about karate? I'm like, oh, that's right, robots.
Because I think maybe the problem was they spread themselves too thin. The part about the robot had so much potential because it's cool. Like, come on, a robot. That's awesome. You can do so much with that. And I just think it just didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, you can make it answer the phone for you and bring you beer, just like Paulie's.
Well, they could have done something like, I don't know, try to take over the world or something, and they all had to team up to stop it from doing so. I don't know. This is post Terminator. They could have incorporated some of that stuff into it.
Do you remember the Musk Oxen episode?
Yes.
Yes.
Or the pizza episode?
Yes.
So they're all rated much worse than this episode for you.
Than me?
Yeah, for you.
As I said, I don't know if the two. I'm sure you can have something that you enjoy, but it's forgettable. Mm. But it's, okay. I guess. Look, I don't know. If anything, let me bump. Hey, actually, all right. Let me say something about that. I had a family member randomly choose an episode to listen to of our podcast.
Uh-oh.
They go, okay, I'm just going to randomly check out an episode. Okay, what's this one? So they go to the most recent one at the time. And it happened to be the episode where, Monkey Boy, you said, oh, so that's why your dad left you.
I didn't say that.
Yes, you did.
I didn't say that.
Yes, you did.
I didn't. Mike said that.
No, it was you. It was.
No, it wasn't.
It was the Santa episode.
Mike, didn't you say it?
I don't remember.
No.
You said it.
No, Monkey Boy, it was you.
What?
Find the sample.
No. It was hilarious. It was hilarious. I had a massive laugh about it. It was awesome. Actually,
what episode was that?
It was the Santa episode, so it was the last episode of season 1.
Season's greetings.
Yeah. Are you going back through our podcast?
That wasn't me. That was Mike.
Let's settle this next episode, okay?
Yeah,
okay.
Look it up. Include it at the end of this.
I have something else about our podcast that happened, actually. So, Monkey Boy, you recently worked hard and put together an awesome highlights package from season 1. Thank you. Mm. That was great, actually.
Well, we did it together with no assistance from Mike.
But half the funniest parts are from him, so I guess he did have involvement.
That's true. Good point.
Oh, yeah. Now, there's a part. So I was listening to this. I'm like in the car traveling to work, and you know, I'm going through the drive-thru to get a something from McDonald's, like McMuffin or something. And what part comes on as I'm listening to it? It's the part where Moddy and Mixie are watching the romantic movie.
Okay.
And it's like,
welcome to McDonald's. Can I take your order, please?
And I'm like trying to fumble around, trying to get to where my phone is. And I'm like, oh my God. So, it was really awkward.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome.
Okay,
Monkey. I actually really like the best of episode.
Yeah,
I've
great.
Listened to it a couple of times. Pretty funny.
Okay, Monkey Boy.
Yes.
Actually, Monkey Boy and Mike, I have a very important announcement to make, okay?
Okay.
Yes.
All right, so Monkey Boy, you can have something lined up ready when I'm ready.
I'm always lined up and ready.
Okay. All right, so ever since our special guest, Mel, appeared on the season 2 premiere, I felt that since then the show's slipped, into mediocrity a little bit, It's,
yeah, it's true.
It's kind of, it's...
I thought it was going to
there's not much
else.
Going on. So, I feel we need something special. We need some inspiration to bring the Ferals podcast back into the limelight.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I'm officially announcing the launch of a new campaign to get a special guest on the program.
Okay.
So, can you please play the fanfare, Monkey Boy?
Wait, is this the opening sound, or are you talking about...
No, not the doom door, not the doom door.
You want to get the rock on the show? Oh my...
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. I'm campaigning to get our number one super fan, Lee, on the podcast.
We
love you, Lee.
So, and I want to get him on by the time we finish the season. We brought him up many times.
Yes.
We've actually even asked him, but I think, he's a little reluctant. I think he fears that, he won't know what to say. So I think together we can start a campaign across social media or our loyal followers to hashtag Lee2015. We can get t-shirts emblazoned with the logo Lee2015. It's important that we let our voice be heard. And most importantly, let's make this podcast great again, guys. Let's get
here.
Yes.
I think this is a brilliant campaign. I think this needs to happen. I think that Lee needs to get on the show. We need to interview our mega fan, our super fan,
number one super fan, Lee.
That's right. Not
our for a long time only fan.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. At one time, he was our one and only listener. But we don't forget the people that supported us. We
never
support
forget
them back. And then we bring
our show. You know what really threw me? Because my first and last name have the initials LJ, and so does our mega fan.
Ooh.
So when I saw LJ 2015, I thought, what the hell? Has this got something to do with me?
Yeah, that's why I did it. I knew it would confuse you.
Thank you.
He's like, oh, this is something special about me.
I did think that.
Okay. All right. So
what? When do we want him on?
Now.
How do we want him on?
Naked.
I want to get him on at least before the end of the season. So whenever it can happen, given his his very busy schedule,
he's extremely
busy. I'm sure that we can coerce him into coming up.
Yeah, I think that's a brilliant idea. Okay. So the podcast has already tweeted it out. We've already called for him. Even though by the time you would have heard this, that would have been weeks ago.
When are we printing the t-shirts? We're still doing that?
Well, they're in the schedule after we print the Dave Dobbins t-shirts and the Ask Crack Honey Badger ones. So,
they're
the third in line.
T-shirt for every day of the week for the next year at this rate.
Yeah, 3 days of the week.
Woo! I'm just looking at our t-shirts. I'm just looking at our Twitter... at Ferals Podcast, and one third of the followers are actual cast members from this show.
Hey, that's some That's some quality over quantity right there.
It's true. It's true. Very, very selective.
Which okay. we may oh, or God. May not have paid off.
All right. So just before we wrap up, I wanted to quickly talk about something that we've raised that Mike
yep.
opened her eyes to, which was our favorite transition, the Doom Door. Thank you. Good timing. Okay. Did you guys actually know there's actually 4 Doom Door sounds?
What?
I knew that there were more than one because when I was trying to get the sample of the Doom Door... And by the way, this is not post-production. This Doom Door sound is coming in live.
Coming in live!
That's a really good Doom Door.
So...
It's when I was sorry, looking it triggers, for the Doom automatically door, triggers on the words.
Exactly. So when I'm looking for this sound, I realize that there's like... I knew there was at least a couple Doom Door sounds. So...
How did you decide on this particular Doom Door sound?
God, I don't know. It's get so that... annoyed by this.
This Doom Door sound, out of all the other Doom Door sounds, I just think it sort of, you know, captures my thought of what a Doom Door sound is going to sound like.
I agree. That's a good Doom Door sound.
Yeah.
That's okay, covered many right. Doom so, yeah, Door sounds.
What were you saying, Swinny, about the Doom Door?
Okay, I'm going to attempt to say the remainder of this without saying those words, okay?
Wait, can you all say right. Doom?
You just said those words.
And then door?
It was half the sentence.
I guess not.
It was a halfer. Oh, yeah, I just wanted to give you guys some insight into some of the places where that sound's actually been used.
Oh, so, interesting. And, mean, can I just say...
Yeah.
Can I just say, with that sound, I actually don't think it is the sound in the show, because I went back to watch the episode, and it sounds a bit different.
I think it's actually, it's one of the it's one of the sounds. Yeah, it's one of the sounds. I think it's one of the other samples. I actually think it is oh, okay. one of the other samples. Okay.
Okay.
Well, I picked the bad one then.
So, yeah, I know. So... It was featured in
like the random dig there.
It was featured in the Doom movie.
I did not see that coming.
but
it's featured in the Doom movie. I never watched the Doom movie.
But how,
it's got the rock.
What's cool about that is that it was only featured in the first person perspective section of the Doom movie, which is cool.
That's pretty cool.
It was in Galaxy Quest to replace the Star Trek door sound.
Okay.
Which I reckon's cool.
That is pretty cool.
TV, they used it in like Mystery Science Theater, Babylon 5, Stargate, American Dad, Ghost in the Shell. They used it in
Can I just ask, is this a sample? This is a commercial sample.
Yes. So it's from a stock library.
Right.
But a lot of the usages, and I tried to filter some of them out, are obviously because of someone's heard the Doom Door sound. Okay, they should replace all police car sirens with that sound. That'd be awesome.
That'd be scary.
You know, it was in Rugrats as well, which is really weird.
What? I feel like, because you didn't check, like, where it appeared in the episode, right? So how do you know that it's true? It just sounds like bullshit now.
No, look, this has been put together from a couple of places. Now, this is a good...
well,
a good
this listing. Appeared on BuzzFeed, so it's
No, there's a good listing on TV Tropes about this, and I reckon we need to add the ferals into this, actually. But you know what it was on?
Yeah.
It was finally, on, we make it a was on contribution to mankind.
It was
to the universe.
High five.
It was on a promo for Ozstar. Do you guys remember Ozstar?
Yes.
Yeah, I do.
But
yeah, that was like the
Foxtel
the Foxtel competitor, and I completely forgot about it. I'm like, Ozstar, God,
it still exists.
You know why? My
it still exists.
I'll tell you why.
get out of here! Come on, what?
You know why it's not successful?
No, it's in some areas
because you can't have words that are two words and they have the last letter of the first. The last letter of the first word is the same as the first letter of the second word because it confuses people.
What nonsense are you talking, Mike? I don't understand anything.
Marketing 101. You're a marketing guru. You should know this.
Did you just say marketing 101? Did you just say marketing 101?
That's called some really personal client marketing there.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm pretty sure you said marketing 101. I'm going to start saying that.
All right, all right.
I can't deny it because we have proof now, unfortunately. It's all being recorded.
This will be the lead of the episode if you said that's marketing 101. Anyway, sorry, Swinny, go on.
All right, I just want to cover a few more before we wrap up. It was in the a Beastie Boys movie clip. It was actually in a Rammstein song called...
Which one?
Mann gegen Mann. Now, Mike...
How do you say that properly, Mike?
That's how you say properly, Mike.
I have no idea.
Mann gegen Mann. Mike, you used to know a bit of German. Do you know what that translates to?
No idea.
Man on man. So it's marketing. Mann marketing. Gegen Mann.
Man on man.
Man on man. One on one. One.
They also used the Doom shotgun in Wollte das Bat in Flammen sein, I think it is. So, off Herzlied. So, that was really good.
So, I guess this guy's played Doom. Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, they used the Doom shotgun like in a transition. So, it was really cool.
You know how, how Nine Inch Nails did the soundtrack for Quake? Did they have any contribution for Doom as well?
No.
Here's an interesting tidbit about Nine Inch Nails.
Just launches into it.
No, it's not really a tidbit. Right, it's more like my personal...
Is it a tidbit or a tidbit?
A tit bit. A bit of tit on the side. Now, I this is just my personal opinion, but it feels like a lot of their songs are actually love songs.
I like how you lead it, making it sound like it's like some kind of, you know, research.
Amazing research revelation. No, this is just some shitty little opinion I have.
Yeah, go on.
I reckon most of their songs are actual love songs. Disguised as weird sounding things.
Well, that song that I just said off Herzlied is "Do You Want to See the Bed in Flames?" It translates to. And it goes, "Sex is a battle, love is a war," and then it has a Doom shotgun. So, just to wrap it up quickly, the other games it's been in, now some of these really surprised me. So it was in like Descent, Resident Evil and stuff, but it was in...
I thought you were going to say Doom 2.
Whoa, mind blown.
Obviously Doom. It was in a Kirby game.
Okay.
It was in a Zelda game, and it was in Halo 1.
Zelda game. Okay,
and it was
you should have led with that.
And it was Halo 1, in Halo 1 as well. So... Yeah, I look,
but Hello, Zelda, okay, but Zelda.
Hey, it's much more realistic to not realistic. Sorry, surprising that it's in a Kirby game than a Zelda game. Okay, Kirby, considering its tone,
I don't know, man.
Kirby's tone is much more fluffy than Zelda's.
Well, can I just say, when you're saying that they use the sample, it doesn't mean that they don't change the pitch.
Yeah, of course.
Or do all these other things with it.
So
right?
It could be in a lot of other
but
things.
Oh, yeah.
But I think, yeah, that it's in Zelda is weird, because I just would have thought that they would have created everything from scratch.
Hey, people get lazy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a bit of a sly on the Zelda creator.
Yeah, buddy, Eiji Aonuma, however you say your name. Get pull your act together. I'm calling you out.
So we're adding people who you've called out, Feral fans that dress up as Feral, and the guy who's the director on the Zelda series.
Exactly.
You've been called out.
I know.
I feel like
it's
I need
gone,
a theme song.
It's gone
for you.
Downhill since Miyamoto left the reins, all right? Cool. Start using proper
Fair
samples.
Fair call. So you finally agree that Zelda's off the rails?
Nah, it's great.
I've been saying
it's
this
awesome.
For years,
it's
man.
It's awesome. It's still great.
What was the last Zelda game that Miyamoto had an influence over?
Ocarina of Time.
Boom. Boom.
Yeah. Yeah. There's been some amazing...
I've got you on record now.
Okay. Let me just say, that's like the last Zelda game you played. So, you've got no...
That's not true.
You've got no authority on this matter
that's
whatsoever.
That's not true. I played the Twilight Princess. Is that what it's called?
Welcome to the John and Luke
like
Gaming
it.
Podcast.
You know, there's been like 10 games since then.
Yeah, and they're all bad. No, I can't say that, but... Twilight Princess, I didn't enjoy it that much.
Anyway,
Anyway.
Was Zelda the green dude?
That's like League 2015 Doom Door Marketing 1-on-1.
Yes.
Yeah. There you go. That's your highlights. But I agree. That's your highlights I package concur. For season 2, Muggy Boy. There you go. Done and dusted.
This whole episode is just season 2 highlights package. I agree. We need Leon. This is a running theme. I will continually bring this up until we get Lee onto the show. The mega fan, the true fan, the first fan, the original fan, the fan genesis, the Adam of fans.
Yes. So Lee I think Adams. We should have a Lee 2015 campaign update in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. Make sure to bring that fanfare, yep. And then we'll let people know how we're traveling.
Beautiful. All right. Well, that's it for now. We've got next week's episode, which is episode 6, Let's Get Physical. Hello. Mm-hmm. But for now, bye.
Ciao.
Doomdor.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.